Well, hello, everyone. You can tell by the music, it's time for Awaken Me Too. My name is Bruce Carroll, and I'm here with the always lovely co-host, Mrs. Nikki Carroll. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
And we are both glad to be here so we can talk to a wonderful brother in Christ named Brian Cluth. He is a pastor, best-selling author, inspirational speaker, and media commentator. He's got a lot going on, and we want to find out what it all is. And as a reminder, Awaken Me Too is a program about real people with real stories serving a real God. So without further ado, Brother Brian Cluth, welcome to Awaken Me Too. How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm doing great and so glad to be here today and really want to encourage people. So glad they're listening and want to share some stories and encourage them and some ideas that can bless them and make them a blessing.
Brother, tell us a little bit about, first of all, what you do, just an overlook of what you're involved in right now.
Sure. Well, my wife and I are traveling the country to over 100 cities in an RV motorhome, and I lead the national Bless Your Pastor movement. And we have free materials that we provide for Christians and for churches to really bless and love on their pastor and their church staff. And we have $1 million in grant money to give away $100 at a time for churches that use our free materials at blessyourpastor.org.
Wow, that's awesome, bro. Pastors sure need to be blessed.
They do. It's been a tough 18 months for everybody in this world, but especially pastors have had it particularly difficult trying to make decisions and lead people and love people these last 18 months.
Yeah, the pandemic has thrown a wrench into everything, but all things work together for good, right?
Mm-hmm,
to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And God has a way of taking us through tough times. And as we go through them, He reorders us. He refocuses us on what's really important. And I've talked to several pastors that have thanked God for what they've had to go through the last 18 months because it recentered them.
Yeah.
And it got them to focus on the priorities and the call that they have on their lives and how to minister to their people in a more strategic, intentional way. Are you seeing things like that in the pastors that you meet and see?
Yeah. What's happened is everybody's had to really just deal with, I call it a worldwide sabbatical. All the things that we made as idols in our life, entertainment, sports, education, parties, cruises, family gatherings, team sports, kids dance, everything that we kind of made our life center around all went away. And so in that journey, pastors and people, a lot of people have really rethink their relationship with God and what their faith looks like and how they serve others, how they serve God, how they know God. And so I think that way it's been a really positive thing, but it's been difficult and challenging.
So the things that are really important, the things that are essential to the faith of a believer. I know we've talked to several people who have based their lives on this lifestyle and what they thought was important. So many people have lost their jobs, have lost their businesses, the things that they built their house on, if you will.
Yeah,
have
for sure.
Crumbled. And so Nikki and I have seen a lot of people coming back to Christ and coming to Christ, exchanging their fear for faith. I find this is fascinating. There's some statistics that I read on your Bless Your Pastor website. 29% of pastors have considered leaving full-time ministry because of COVID ministry challenges. 90% of pastors are experiencing financial stress, which has increased since COVID-19. Personally, I know several churches that have had to shut their doors for good. 83% of pastors are providing both in-person and online worship services to care for their flock. It's a lot more work than they used to have to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
60% of pastors receive no retirement, health care, or employee benefits. 50% of pastors are paid under $50,000 while working 50 to 70 hours every week. And 40% of pastors' spouses serve the church 20 or more hours per week, normally without any pay. Those are amazing stats that one may not consider.
Yeah, most people don't realize how much a pastor works and how they have to be available really 24/7. I had a friend and she was talking to her son one day, he's about 8 or 9, and she said, "Honey, what do you want to be when you grow up?" He thought for a second, said, "Well, I want to be either a garbage man or a pastor." And she said, "Well, why would you want to do that?" And he said, "Well, garbage men work on Thursdays and pastors work on Sunday.
And that's it.
Yeah, just one day a week. So he thought that was a pretty good gig.
Yeah.
And anyway, so, but no, most people don't realize pastors have early morning meetings. They go to the church during the daytime. They have evening meetings. They have weekend commitments, evening counseling, the weekend services. And then, like you just said, now you add online on top of that, live services and online. So many things that they do. The spouse, again, frequently involved in many of those activities, especially in the evenings and the weekends. So most pastor couples serve sacrificially and without a lot of recognition, without a lot of appreciation, and frequently without a lot of financial support. But they can't say anything about that, because if they would say that, it would just feel self-serving, or it's very, very awkward for them. And so I actually get to be a voice for the voiceless. And you don't normally think of a pastor being voiceless, but on this topic of their financial well-being, they're voiceless. And so I have the privilege of speaking and encouraging Christians and giving them ideas on what every Christian listening to us. I have a list of over 50 ways to bless your pastor and church staff, things that people can do individually. They can look at that list and find things they can do to bless their pastor and staff.
Brian, you have a very unique ministry happening, and your wife is right by your side. I love that.
Yeah.
And it takes a special woman to do something like that. Are you also seeing, and we are assuming that you are, a great falling away right now in the church with pastors and congregation?
Well, I think what's happened, there's several things that are going on. You know, churches are doing multi-site churches. That's kind of common these days. But I'm seeing more and more multi-site Christians. You say, well, you're going to go to church this Sunday? Well, maybe. Well, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to decide. I might go online and hear this guy, and I might go online and hear that person. I might go to this church. I might go to that church. So there's certainly a falling away from commitment to a local body of believers, a local congregation, a local pastor. So people are much more either on edge over emotional and anger issues related to their churches, or their churches have been closed and they want to go somewhere, or they like somebody else's teaching better. So it's just been a real sifting and shifting that's been going on. So all the churches are really trying to regroup and say, okay, what does normal look like? And how do we move forward with the new normal? And unfortunately, I'm hearing from pastors, the anger that some people have expressed has been pretty difficult. We were just with a pastor in Albuquerque, and he said, Brian, the hate emails, the voicemail messages, the in-my-face moments have been very, very difficult. And he said, every time we made a decision, we got some of that. And then he said, but if we had made the other decision, then other people would have done the same thing. And that particular church, they're down about 50 or 60%, mainly because of decisions that they felt they had to make, and half the people didn't like the decision. So that's pretty difficult. You know, you always have difficult people, but this last year and 18 months have been especially difficult.
You were a senior pastor as well, right?
Yeah, 10 years. And I became a senior pastor at the age of 45. I was the CEO of a national organization and felt God's call in my life to become a pastor. And I surrendered to that call, not knowing what it would look like. I had a young family at the time. We had children 3, 5, and 7. My first wife, she went to heaven in 2010. I'm remarried now with a wonderful wife, but became a pastor at 45 and took a $70,000 pay cut. So went from $120,000 a year to $50,000 a year. But my church loved us so well that we never missed the money. So they just took care of us in all kinds of creative ways.
I think it's so cool the way the Lord equips us to get into certain situations like you. I mean, you have a unique perspective with senior pastors. You know how to speak to them. You know what they live through. You know the tension between the congregation and senior pastor. I think that's awesome that you were trained to do what you're doing now.
Yeah. God takes everything in our life, even the difficult things. I would say, let God take your pain and turn it into gain. God does that. You know, even when I lost my wife to cancer, I started the singles ministry in the Denver area, and it ultimately served hundreds of people coming every Tuesday night, single and single again Christians, because I said, okay, God, this is hard. Being single again is hard, you know, whether it's by a divorce or by marriage. And so that's where I met my new wife. Hundreds of people came. They had a need, and we were able to meet it through the scriptures and through loving people in difficult season.
Could you step back now and talk about how you came to know Jesus in the very beginning?
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a religious home. We were church going, but we were not God honoring. The church I went to, they didn't preach from the Bible. They didn't point people to Christ. It was just kind of showed up and shut up and put up, and it didn't mean anything. So growing up, I was a typical American kid, just living for fun. But for me, sin manifested itself pretty early. I like to take things from people. I would steal from my family. I would steal from my employers. I like to drink. I like to party. I like to run around with girlfriends. Went to college, and that life continued. And I was a bartender in a nightclub and a discotheque and had my own bartending business. And all of that craziness, Christ met me. And at the age of 21, in a broom closet of a church I walked into and heard a message. I was under such conviction for the wretch I was. I got out of the service, went down the hall. I need to get alone. And I opened a door, and it was a broom closet. And I closed the door, got down on my knees, and gave my life and all my sin to Christ. And he met me in a powerful way in that broom closet. And I knew when I got up that something was different, that the weight of sin, the bondage I was in, all my idols, all my impurity somehow was in that moment was gone. I knew. I was like, hey, I'm the same on the outside, but I'm new on the inside. Corinthians talks about it. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things pass away. All things become new. And I had this newness to my life. And my fraternity brothers at the time were like, what happened to you, man? Come on, you know, and let's go party. Let's go have fun. And I'd be reading my Bible for hours at a time. And they were like, you're crazy. You've gone off the deep end.
Crazy for Christ.
Yeah, crazy for Christ. And my sister said, Brian, you become a nut for Jesus. And I said, well, Paul, if I'm a nut for Jesus, for the first time in my life, I'm screwed on the right bolt.
That's good. That's real good.
Yeah.
Feeling that. Yeah, that's good.
So God just did an amazing work. And you know, the Bible says, let him who steals steal no more, but let him work with his hands and give to those in need. And since, you know, that was 40-some years ago, I came to Christ, and God has had me produce materials and things that help people at a point of need. So bless your pastors, helping pastors at a point of need, but it's helping Christians at a point of need, because most Christians don't even know what to do. How would I show appreciation for my pastor? You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says we are to show our deep appreciation for those who minister among us. Galatians 6:6 says we are to share all good things with the one who instructs us. And so God has allowed me over my lifetime to create materials that help people. I've written a devotional that's gone all over the world and into 40 languages that helps people understand the Word of God and how to live generously and how to trust God as your provider.
What is the name of that devotional?
It's Give With Joy is the website, and you can get it for people get it for free. Give With Joy. It's 10 Bible verses each day for 40 days. So in 40 days, you go through 400 scriptures on how God provides for you and how he calls you to learn to become a generous person. You know, I wasn't generous. I was a taker. I was a thief. I was a liar. God had to teach me to open my tight-fisted hands and operate not in fear with my finances, but in faith. And I like to say faith, F-A-I-T-H. That means fantastic adventures in trusting him.
That's great.
God calls us to live a life of faith, fantastic adventures in trusting him. And so anyway, my materials are free. Another place people can get my free materials is blessingstour.org. Blessingstour.org. Everything I've ever written is there for free. And you just go and there's a download and you can get everything I've ever put together, all my singles materials, my financial materials, my generosity materials, all of that's just free at blessingstour.org or givewithjoy.org gets you the devotional or blessyourpastor.org gets you the free materials to bless your pastor and to help your whole church do it. That's the whole goal of Bless Your Pastor. The whole church gets the 50 ways list. They take up an appreciation offering. They honor the pastor, and then when they do that, we'll send the pastor a $100 gift card.
That's incredible. Are you seeing a lot of people respond in a way that's bringing change for positive change?
Yes, we are. The first year we did this, we had 200 churches participate. Last year, we had over 2,000. And one pastor said to me, and I think he's from Indiana, he said, "Brian, my people got that 50 ways list." And he said, "Generosity and love broke out like wildfire." He said, "My wife, my kids, my family, my staff, we have never felt so loved. People gave us gift cards. People that had vacation homes let us use them. People that were mechanics began to fix our car. You know, dentists began to take care of our teeth. A doctor would say, 'Call me anytime you need anything and I'll help you for free.' Someone cut my grass." You know, those kinds of practical ideas just... It was like you said, it was like wildfire. And he said, "All my years of ministry, I've never seen anything like this." In that little sheet, one piece of paper, 50 ways to bless your pastor and staff. He said, it just changed everything in my congregation.
That's incredible.
And so do you get invites to do this? Is that how that works? So like if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, "Man, you know, I really love my pastor and I know so many other people that do the same. I want to bless him with this."
Yeah, all you do is go to blessyourpastor.org, and there's a PDF in English or Spanish. You can just download the PDF. It's 2 pages, and you get that. Or you can also sign up to get the information. But you just take that, look it over yourself, the 50 ways, and see what you can do, and then take it to a leader in your church or the church office staff, not the pastor. Pastor can't ask for this. But you can become Jesus with skin on at your church and to your pastor because you get the free materials and you pass it along to the leadership and they just use it. They can use it in October, Pastor Appreciation Month. They could do this in November, Thanksgiving Month. They could do it in December, you know, end of the year offering, Christmas offering. That's what my church used to do. I always got a Christmas offering at the end of the year. And you just use the free materials and that's what happens. And so thousands of people all over America are getting that free material and just getting it and using it themselves and sharing it with their church.
So obviously you have a team of people that help with this. You can't go to 2,000 churches.
Oh, no, they just hear. That's why we're going around the country to do media interviews. Okay. People hear about it and then they just use the free materials. So I don't have to go anywhere. Everything is in the PDF. Everything that someone needs is in a 2-page PDF.
I see. So you are actually training people to do that in their own
church.
Yeah.
They just go get everyone listening. You just go blessyourpastor.org, get the PDF, look it over and pass it along to some leaders and they'll take it from there. It's very, very easy to do. It's just distribute the 50 ways list, you know, put it out by email, mail it out, put it out in the pews or the seats, take up the offering, take up an offering. You know, this year, and then honor them publicly, you know, during Pastor Appreciation or Thanksgiving or something, and let us know you did that, and then we'll send your pastor a $100 gift card.
That is amazing.
These helps are so needed right now, and not only churches, but it'll spread through the whole congregation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Even, yes. You know, even like in my church, so we're gone, we're traveling in the RV, so I called my pastor and said, "Pastor, we're going to be gone for 2 months. Do you need my car or my wife's car?" Mm. And he said, "Yeah, actually, we're down to one car." I said, "Great. You can have our car. And when we come back, if you want to use our RV, you can use our RV." That's the spirit we're trying to create. That a whole idea of what do you have that you can share? What can you do to bless your pastor and staff? There's just, you know, just thinking creatively. Everybody listening right now, here's a guaranteed way everybody listening can bless their pastor or staff member. Simply, when you're going through the line at the grocery store, Walmart, gas station, look to your left or right, and there's a rack of gift cards, you know, for Chili's or, you know, Olive Garden or, you know, Home Depot or Lowe's or, you know, whatever, you know, Dairy Queen. Grab one of those cards, take it home, put a note with it and say, "Pastor, thought of you this week. And you know, I just wanted to bless you with this gift card. Thank you for what you're doing. We love you. We appreciate you." Just do that. And your pastor or staff member you give it to will feel so loved, so loved. And even like my home Bible study group, we did that. We all got gift cards and we came to our Bible study night. We had some cards And we all took time to sign every card to each staff member. And just our group of 10 people, we collected over $500 in gift cards. 10 people. And then I took them to the church staff meeting, and we distributed them to all the staff along with the cards. And they felt loved and appreciated. And anybody listening right now, they could do that. This is really, really easy to do.
Yeah, it's so simple.
You know, what a concept. Being like the early church.
Yeah.
An example of being really Christ-like.
Yeah.
Brian, if someone were listening right now that really wants to become a Christian, what would you say to them? How would they do that?
Well, the thing I would say is, one, I'm so grateful you're feeling that need. I'm so, so grateful you're feeling that need. And I would like to share it in a flashlight illustration. I tell people, flashlights are like people. Flashlights are created, they're made with a purpose, but they come empty. And so in my life, or maybe your life, if you're listening, you felt the emptiness and you tried to fill it with money or sex or drugs or success or awards or achievement or something, but there's this emptiness inside of you. And so what you need to do is you need to take all that stuff, all that really idols, all the things you thought could fill you but could not, and take it to the cross, just in prayer. For me, I was on my knees in a broom closet, but to me, it was the cross. I was taking my empty life and all the stuff I filled my flashlight with to the cross. And I said, Jesus, I'm a liar and I'm a thief and I've ignored you and I haven't believed in you. And I just really cried out to God. But to me, it was about the cross. And Jesus, my friends tell me, you can take my sin, all my sin upon yourself. And Jesus, I need you and I need you to fill me. I needed to empty out my sin to as many as received him. He gives the power to become children of God. So I received Christ in my life in that moment. And when I got up, I was new. The sin was gone. It was dealt with. The penalty and the punishment for my sin was taken on the cross. And I was forgiven and clean. And I was brand new.
And anyone can become brand new right now, can't they?
Anybody can do that. Anybody.
Through the forgiveness of sins, just like you did.
Right now, right where you are. Just get on your knees. Yeah, give your heart, give your sin, give your life to Christ and ask him to fill you. And when I preach on this, I actually put two batteries in the flashlight, and then I turn it on, and suddenly the flashlight works.
Mm-hmm.
With the sin gone, and with Christ fully in you, suddenly for the first time in your life, you shine. You suddenly know the presence and the power and the peace of God, and it's amazing.
Amen.
Shine like light. So if anybody wants to hear that message, go to YouTube and go hashtag empty flashlight story, hashtag empty flashlight story, and you can listen to a message about me talking about this whole idea of the empty flashlight and how God can fill you.
Thank you.
Brian, share again the websites for people to get involved.
There are several websites, blessyourpastor.org. That's for the Bless Your Pastor materials. If you want all the free materials I've ever written, go to blessingstour.org, blessingstour.org, and then my devotional is at givewithjoy.org.
Brian, it's been so good talking to you, brother, and it's been such a delight to meet your delightful wife, Mary Ellen. I'd also like to remind our listeners that we have a website. You can go to jesushelps.me. It's in its infant stages, but it's up, and there's some wonderful resources there that tells you more about what we're doing and why we're doing it. And if you've got any questions, comments, you can email us at info@jesushelps.me. And you can also call us. We actually have somebody that will call you back at 1-855-775-3787. Now, we're an all-volunteer army here, and we may not answer your call as you call, but we will get back to you in short order as soon as we can. Thank you for joining us this week on Awaken Me Too. Thank you, Brian. And thanks to our wonderful producer, David Davenport. And thanks always to my oneness, my Proverbs 31 woman, Mrs. Nikki Carroll. God is good. God is moving in the world. He is making a difference in lives. He's setting people free. And he's a God of hope. If you're looking for hope, trust this, that as long as Jesus lives, there is hope. We'll see y'all next week on Awaken Me Too.
There is hope.
This is a Belly of the Whale production.